Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Chrysler is facing a deadline.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The United Auto Workers have put Chrysler on notice. The company has until tomorrow to reach a new labor agreement or face a strike. Sounds like a bargaining tactic. We saw a similar situation in contract negotiations with GM 2 weeks ago. If a walkout was called against Chrysler, it might not hurt much. Five plants will be shut down for a week or two beginning today. That's because demand for Chrysler vehicles has been weak. On Wall Street this morning, trading will begin from record highs for both the Dow and the S&P. The strength of Friday's session helped power Asian markets higher overnight. Stocks in Hong Kong set a record high. The Japanese market was closed for the holiday. In Europe, though, the markets have edged lower. Shares in the German software giant SAP are down more than 6%. The company is spending $6.8 billion to acquire the French company Business Objects. It's a banking holiday here in the U.S., which means the bond market will be closed. The FDA says it needs more money to make sure imported food is safe. Now it's up to Congress to find those funds. One idea would put the added cost on food importers. Jeremy Hobson reports from Washington.
A bill being considered in Congress would charge importers fees to pay for stepped-up inspections. Right now, the cash-strapped FDA only inspects about 1% of food imports. Not enough, says one of the bill's authors, Democrat Bart Stupak.
If Japan can inspect 15% of food, we're only doing 1%. Certainly we can get up to 15%, at least I would think.
But the food industry isn't thrilled with the user fee idea, because for products with many ingredients, costs could spiral. The Grocery Manufacturers Association says that could prompt companies to manufacture elsewhere. George Washington University professor Michael Taylor calls the user fee idea a necessary evil.
Industry is being asked to pay for what should be a publicly provided service, and it's a service to the public to be the public good. From the industry standpoint, it's a tax.
Taylor worries that with industry paying the tab, the independent aspect of inspections could be compromised. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A documentary film will be broadcast tonight on British television. It's an undercover look at the black market trade in Chinese children, 70,000 children abducted and sold into slavery. The film has so angered China's government, the Chinese embassy in London sought an injunction to block the broadcast. Let's bring in reporter Bill Marcus in Shanghai. Bill, how were the film's producers able to prevent Chinese security officials from interfering with this project?
Well, the term for foreigner or white foreigners, guailo, means ghost, and they tried to behave as if they were ghosts. They would come in to interview either parents or the child traffickers one by one, and they'd leave one by one. And they did this for 2.5 years. They collected information and some of the most chilling interviews are traffickers talking about the bare economics of selling a child and the fact that a boy can fetch about $1,300.
What is the response of the Chinese government to this?
They acknowledge that there's a problem. They say the problem is not as bad as the documentary makers make it out to be, and they ask to be given an advanced screening. And the documentary makers gave them a 3-page letter that detailed their evidence. The government also denies the accusation that's made in the film that the one-child policy has anything to do with this because more boys are taken than girls, basically because they will earn more money.
Reporter Bill Marcus speaking to us this morning from Shanghai. Bill, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome, Doug. Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. By The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Building construction has slowed in many parts of the country, but in New York City, business is booming, and it's boom time for concrete companies. From WNYC in New York, Lisa Chow reports.
Nobody likes to sit in rush hour traffic, but for a concrete truck driver, thousands of dollars are on the line. The stuff they're delivering is more perishable than fruit. Joseph Ferraro Jr. is vice president of a company that supplies concrete in New York. He's working on the new Met Stadium, the World Trade Center Memorial, and an expanded subway line. He says concrete has only 90 minutes from the time it leaves the plant before it begins to harden.
The worst possible thing that could happen is you get a setup in your barrel. Every concrete producer has had to chop concrete out of his barrel, and it's a very expensive screw-up. Not screw-up, but just happens.
The 90-minute rule means builders can't truck in concrete from Connecticut, for example, because it's too far away. There are only a handful of big concrete suppliers in the New York area. They've got plenty of raw material, but they don't always have the trucking capacity to get mixed concrete to all the big projects that need it. You'd think that might spark competition in the concrete supply business, but Joseph Ferraro Sr. says getting into the game is expensive.
Yeah, I just went out and ordered six trucks. That's another $1 million+. And suppose I told you my Teamster cost me almost $75 an hour. And then we start talking about cost of raw materials and the cost of real estate taxes and the cost of real estate, et cetera, et cetera.
Companies like Ferraro's supply concrete contractors who are able to charge twice as much for jobs they were 3 years ago. Pat DiFilippo works for Turner Construction, which hires concrete contractors.
They start to look at all the parts and pieces that are bid, and they just keep trying to ratchet it up a little bit and see if they win. And they keep winning. And you know why they're winning? Because there's very limited competition that's out there when there's a lot of work.
Concrete suppliers are making the most of the demand. Ferraro Sr. says he's expanding his company's plant capacity and fleet of trucks. But he's been around for a while, so he knows the construction business in New York has its ups and downs. He says he's got no idea when this boom may end or when the next one might come around again. In New York, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.